Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
All right, Kevin, you probably know this, but one of my favorite phrases in sports is basically any given Sunday. In other words, anything's possible anytime there's an athletic competition.
Because nothing in the sports world is guaranteed, Trey.
Except for a time, Tiger Woods on a Sunday. Over a 12-year span from when he turned pro in 1987 to 2009, Tiger was flawless, a perfect 14-0 when he entered the final day of a major tournament with a lead.
And I think with all due respect to Mariano Rivera, there was never a better closer in sports history than a young Tiger rocking red on a Sunday.
That is true, but then there was this. Thanksgiving weekend 2009, it all kind of blew up when Woods crashed his car into a tree following what we'll generously call a domestic dispute at his house.
We have learned that arguably the most famous athlete in the world, Tiger Woods, has been released from a Florida hospital after crashing his own car in the wee hours of the morning.
And noticed Tiger Woods laying on the ground in front of his vehicle with his wife over him.
In his statement, Tiger Woods says, quote, "The situation is my fault." But he doesn't say exactly what situation.
And really, Kevin, he'd never be the same again, winning just one more major tournament while battling a plethora of injuries and then all kinds of chipping yips. I mean, he used every club in the bag to try and fix that.
All right, but you know what we do? Let's just think, if Tiger's career never got derailed, I mean, the greatness that we would have witnessed, that would have been on the table, Trey.
Absolutely. And would Tiger have won four more majors to pass Jack Nicklaus's total of 18?
Would LIV Golf exist?
And would the American scourge of pickleball ever have even existed at all?
Please take me there. From Wondery, I'm Kevin Frazier.
And I'm Trey Wingo. And this is going to be a really weird version of Alternate Routes.
Yes, it is.
That's the butterfly effect for real. Yeah, nothing left to say. I got to make it happen. What you got to see next is a chain reaction.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As always, here's how the show works. Each week, we'll bust open the sliding door of a different iconic what-if moment in sports.
And then we'll follow every ripple effect and play out every woulda, coulda, shoulda scenario you can think of. Today's big question, what if Tiger Woods' career didn't come to a crashing halt? Okay, Trey, give me your first alternate route about Tiger. If he just keeps rolling in 09.
Well, listen, I think the obvious one is he becomes arguably the greatest athlete in the history of the world. You know, Tiger was on pace to do things that nobody had ever done. Like, for example, he's the only player, I think, in the last 60 years on the tour to have won 3 different tournaments at least 5 straight times. You know, he won the Bay Hill Invitational, Arnold Palmer's event, 8 times from 2000 to 2013, and he won it 5 in a row. And the 5th year in a row, he had a 5-stroke lead after the 3rd round on Saturday, going into the final round on Sunday. His wife made him pasta that got him food poisoning. He spent all night puking, decided he was going to show up to the tournament anyway. It was a rainy day in Florida. And while he was literally puking up remnants of himself all over the course in a cold, rainy day in Orlando over 18 holes, he ended up winning by 11 strokes. Like, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about here. He's not He's not in the realm of anything that you believe to be possible.
I think people have forgotten, Trey. I think people have forgotten how incredible he was.
Yeah, I mean, people, I talked to people when Bryson DeChambeau won his U.S. Open. Oh, and no one else was under par, and he was 5 under. I'm like, that's cool. In 2000, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
And Tiger Woods is the 100th U.S. Open champion in history.
12 under was his score, and 3 over was tied for second. Like, he was obliterating the field. So, for me, obviously, if he could just kept it all on track, straight and narrow, I think he takes down Jack. I think he has way more than the 82 PGA Tour wins that he's tied now with Sam Snead for the most. I think he's pushing 100. He didn't care as much about regular events, but I think he was just like Pac-Man. Whoa, 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 whoa. Just gobbling up titles. You know, Rory McIlroy tells this great story about Tiger where, you know, he was looking at his house and he had his major championships on display. And Rory said, well, where are the other trophies? Because, you know, those are 15, but you got 67 other titles somewhere. He goes, I don't know, they're around here somewhere. Like, his total focus was just on bagging those majors. So to me, I think he becomes by far not only the greatest golfer, but arguably the greatest athlete the world has ever seen. And he puts these things so far out of reach, all of these records that we're talking about. It's like Cy Young winning 511 games in Major League Baseball. We may never see a 300 winner in Major League Baseball again from a pitching perspective. Tiger would be so far above the mark, you couldn't even see the mark where everybody else is below him.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that was the big thing, that we forget how dominant he was. And people were afraid of Tiger. Golfers were literally afraid. He put on that red and it was like Superman putting on a cape. And there was no kryptonite for him until his wife got hold of his phone.
It's still a scourge today. What's your first big alternate route here?
All right. Well, I'm kind of piggybacking off of you. And I want to say that Tiger Woods would have become the greatest endorser of all time. He is currently worth $1.1 billion. Think about that. That's a lot of money. If that doesn't happen, that night in 2009, and he doesn't get dropped by all those different sponsors, he's probably worth $3 to $5 billion right now. I mean, think about it. I'm going to read off this list. AT&T, Accenture, GM, Gatorade. These are all folks who dropped him. And remember, over his lifespan of his Nike contract, the 27 years he was with Nike, he made $500 million.
It's crazy.
Let's remember, he made $100 million from Gatorade. And he still has lots of ventures that he's involved with. But the issue is that so much of this was lost in the sauce because people dropped him. If they don't drop him, the deals keep escalating. There are still Nike golf clubs, because remember, they got rid of the golf clubs in 2016. But if Tiger's still around, they're still making those golf clubs. So it's so much money. And he by now has moved into lifestyle, just like Jordan moved into lifestyle. It wasn't just basketball shoes. It was lifestyle, too, because he has kids and he's got the kids stuff going on. So I think the Tiger would be worth $3 to $5 billion. He'd be the greatest endorser of all time. And think about the cool commercials Nike would have come out with for Tiger. How great is the one, Trey, where he's bouncing the ball on the club?
That wasn't even supposed to be the commercial. Like, he was just doing that in between shoots. He started to do that because he was bored. And they're like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And they're like, oh, it's just something I do. And they're like, how long can you do that for? He goes, pretty much forever. And that became the commercial. That was never supposed to be a part of the commercial. It was just something they saw him doing. And they're like, holy crap. By the way, there's another great story about some of those Nike shoots. Remember the one where the guy came on the range and tried to steal his clubs?
Yep.
And Tiger tackles him?
Yep.
That was also not in the script. That was an ad lib by Tiger. And everyone was freaking out because Tiger literally went after the guy and tackled him. Like, holy hell, don't get injured. You know, don't do
it's
anything.
Crazy, it's
going
to
make a lawsuit. Yeah. He just said, what the hell? I'm just going to ad lib and tackle this guy. No one knew that was coming. But you're right. And to the point about the finances, their estimates, when it did all go sour Thanksgiving weekend of 2009, those companies lost about $12 billion in value.
It's wild to think about that kind of money going out the window because a dude gets busted by his wife. But that's what happened that night. And, you know, even today, Tiger still is churning in the dollars. I mean, he has that pub that's opening up with Justin Timberlake at St. Andrews. He has the mini golf. He has the new golf league. I mean, Tiger's doing well. And he also has the new deal with TaylorMade called Sunday Red. I mean, and you can imagine that at some point, Charlie Woods will be rocking Sunday Red. So there's so much money he could have made. And I just think that he would be worth $3 to $5 billion in the greatest endorser in the history of the world. And by the way, Trey, there's still a chance that could happen as he comes back around the second time around and people take a new look at Tiger Woods and the man he is and has become. So let's not count him out yet. But I think that a lot, he lost a lot of money. He lost a third world economy kind of money.
And that, maybe a second world economy.
Right. All right. What's your next alternate route?
How about this one? The housing crisis in the country is a bigger problem.
A bigger problem.
Tiger made golf cool, right? It wasn't just stodgy old white dudes that really like playing golf. Suddenly a lot of people, DJ Khaled's now playing golf. All these guys are really into golf. So many athletes are now taking up golf as a second sport. And if that continues to happen and Tiger continues to grow, well, what do you need if you have more golfers? You need more golf courses, right?
You sure
so
do.
So suddenly land becomes a really, really big deal. You know, that's one of the truest things in all of sales. What's the one thing you can't make more of? Land.
Land.
Buy land, get land. So by 2005, more than 2.4 million acres of land was used for golf courses. Now, since then, fewer acres have been used for golf courses because golf sort of crested and, you know, Tiger had his issues and people sort of moved on. But if Tiger had kept that sort of white hot spotlight on the sport of golf by continuing to do this for another 10 years, you know, I think that golf continues to grow and grow and grow. And suddenly housing prices across the country and maybe across the world, because he was a world figure, keep going up and up and up. And the ability for those starter homes where people, you know, give me just 3 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, 2,200 square feet, I'll take it. That'll be $4 million, please. You know, I really think that's an outcome that could have happened because people would be buying up more land to make 18-hole, 27-hole, 36-hole golf courses.
Trey, don't forget that Tiger has that company where he builds golf courses and resorts. And so it's that he has a part of that business, and it was red hot for a while there. Back in 2009, everyone was just speculating how many golf courses would he become the preeminent course builder. And everybody wanted to live on a resort and a golf course back then. So I think that's a pretty interesting point. I mean, maybe a stretch, Trey, but come on, I'm rocking with you.
All right, so give me your next alternate route.
Mine is kind of simple. It's the diversity in golf. Right now, you only have 4 African Americans that are on the PGA Tour. And if Tiger sticks around and you have that Nike machine and Tiger behind, increasing the diversity of golfers out there, then everything changes. Just 3% of the golfers that play golf now are African American. I'm talking about on your everyday course. So Tiger was such a pivotal and important part. I mean, you remember for a while there when we were at ESPN, Stuart Scott thought he was Tiger Woods. I mean, he'd walk around like he was Tiger all the time. I mean,
Tiger. Absolutely.
He dressed like Tiger. When you went out to the golf course, Stu couldn't see a damn thing, but boy, he loved to hit the golf ball. And then he'd be like, where's my ball? And, you know, God rest his soul. But he, everybody wanted to be Tiger at that time. We all had the red shirt. But, you know, you look at college golf right now, and you have the 33 HBCUs, but outside of that, only 6% of college golfers are either African-American, Latino, or Native American. And those are depressing numbers. So I just think that Tiger was on his way to changing that. And I love what Steph did at Howard University. Thank you, Steph, for doing that. Yeah. But I think it also hurt. This moment hurt because how many cool golf commercials would we have seen with Tiger and black golfers by now?
Yeah, you know, by the way, real quickly, before we move on to anything else, I have a great Stuart Scott story I want to share with you. You remember ESPN The Weekend? You know, we go down to Disney World and we do all the shows from there. So for whatever reason, one day I went down a day early and Stuart went down a day early. And, you know, we had a whole day to do anything we wanted to do before our families came down. We had to do the shows and stuff. So we said, let's go play golf. So we got out on the course and this is probably 2005, 2006, something, I don't know, mid 2000s, before he was diagnosed. And we went out there and we had, for whatever reason, we just had the best time. We, you know, we were playing like shit, didn't matter. But the cart came around, we had a few cocktails, and we just started laughing and laughing and laughing. And I remember I was at that time rocking golf sandals. There were golf sandals with the soft spikes underneath it. And Stuart was like, you have to be kidding me. You look like such a loser. You took off flip-flops to put on flip-flops to play golf. But the point of the story was, we got a little tipsy. We put a few back. We had a great time. And then we went back to Bristol after he spent the weekend. And we said, hey, we got to do that again. And then he got sick. I did some other things, and we never had the chance to do it again. So when you said Stewart, I just wanted to share that story. When you have the opportunity to spend time with someone you like, especially on a golf course, do it, because you never know if you're ever going to have that opportunity again.
A character of life, and we miss him dearly. And, you know, I think
but
he did love
Tiger. He did. God, and Tiger loved him, by the way. Tiger loved him big time.
And he did Tiger big Jam time. All the time. He was always down there. Like, I'm going down to Tiger Jam with Hootie and Tiger and those guys. Yeah. And he loved it. Yeah, no, that was his thing. All right, so what do we got next, Trey? What's your next alternate route?
Oh, let's do the crazy one.
Let's go off the map, because mine's a little off the map.
Okay, I want to hear it. Go.
The Woods brothers dominate golf. And you're like, what do you mean the Woods brothers? They're the new Manning brothers, because here's the thing. Tiger and Elin, they were on course to have a child every 2 years. That's how it worked with Sam and Charlie. You know, they were 2 years apart. And I feel like, you know, they would have had more children. Because remember, when Elin remarried, she married Jordan Cameron, the former tight end for the Dolphins. Right. They had a kid. They just had a kid not that long ago. And so you would think about that there would be this opportunity for them to have more kids. And I believe they'd have 4 to 5 kids. Now, we also know that Tiger, the father, He's a dad, and he loves being a dad, and he loves having his kids around. And watching him and Charlie play in the PNC, I mean, just this past December, when Charlie chipped in from the fringe, and, you know, Charlie was walking around with the fist pumping and everything, you saw Tiger, and Tiger just had this beaming smile on his face, like the weight of the world had been lifted off of him, and he was enjoying his child. So I think that the fact that he and Elin are also good friends now, they would have had 4, maybe 5, the Woods brothers, and the one sister, the extra sister that they would have had, would be tearing up the golf world. And Nike would have stayed with it, because it would have been the new Woods. You know how the Kardashians bring back the next generation?
It's always the Kardashians with you. It's always the Kardashians
always go back
with
to
you.
Them, right?
and Tom Brady.
well, the Woods would have had their next generation. They'd be the Mannings of golf. And so I think that would have kept Tiger in it. And we would see Tiger a lot like we saw Earl, walking around golf courses for the rest of his life, following his kids, watching their exploits, not giving a damn about anything else, but enjoying life with his kids.
Mine is a little crazier than that, so bear with me.
Bring it.
Pickleball doesn't exist. And let me explain, okay? For those for the 4 people that don't know what pickleball is, God bless you. Stay there. You're the luckiest people in the world. Everybody is playing pickleball anywhere.
Everybody.
Everybody thinks they're Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan because they can hit a wiffle ball with a waffle iron. I don't quite understand why they do that, but it has become the thing, man. It has taken off because people needed something to do. Well, if Tiger had maintained status quo and continued to win, maybe he creates a whole new rivalry and a whole new thing, what you mentioned earlier, with mini golf. And he creates it to be cool and fun and interesting. He takes the Top Golf concept and somehow latches it onto mini golf. And suddenly, instead of everybody wanting to pickle and get out of the kitchen and make sure you serve from the northwest corner and make sure you serve, I'm 0-2 serving 1. It's the ridiculous scoring method of all time, but you have to announce every time you score. It's a cult,
man. I hate the
man.
Game. I pickleball, hate it so much.
Pickleball is a cult. We need to stop people getting into the cult of pickleball. Tiger Woods could have saved us from the scourge that's hitting America. Pickleball would not be a thing except for a few people in the Northwest, and everybody could step into the damn kitchen and we don't have to worry about it.
If your 90-year-old grandma can play a sport with you, it's not a sport.
Good serve, grandma.
Coming up, listen, I'd say we're both under par on the front nine. Let's head to the next tee for winners and losers. That's the butterfly effect for real.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Look, we just unpacked all the alternate realities of Tiger Woods avoiding his precipitous downfall. And now we're going back to the real world, allegedly. Trey, who are the big winners from Tiger's derailment?
Obviously, Jack Nicklaus is the first one that comes to mind because, you know, listen, I believe Tiger is a better all-around golfer, and I believe Tiger played against much more competitive fields than Jack. I mean, look, Jack's a legend. I want to be clear. I have all the admiration in the world for Jack Nicklaus. When Jack was playing, there were probably four or five guys in the field that could win a major every week. You know, whenever they played, those four times a year. Now there's legitimately 30 guys in the field every year that I believe, every week that there's a major, I believe that they can win. It's just a different field. But the thing that all the Jack people can say, I got 18, what do you got, right? It's like when Larry Ellison bought the island of Lanai, you know, at the Billionaire Boys Club, he can say, oh yeah, I got a Hawaiian island, what do you got? You know, so that's a thing that Jack can hold on to forever, because I don't think anybody's even getting close to Tiger's 15 anymore. So Jack will always have, in my mind, he'll always have the most majors. So I think Jack easily is one of the biggest winners. And, you know, for different generations, there's the Tiger effect and there was the Jack effect in the sport of golf. But the grand card you can play, it's like a royal flush. I got 18. What do you got? So to me, Jack is one of the big winners in all of this.
And I think it's one of the reasons why every time Tiger steps up in a major, everybody's rooting for him now, because you're like, dude, just get closer. Yeah. We're hoping for those miraculous 4-day stretches where he can limp through and somehow do it like he did in the U.S. Open against Rocco Mediate. And you're thinking, Tiger broken down, but we will root for you until the end of time to try and catch that record. It's interesting. All right, can I tell you my winner?
Do it.
Big winner was the tabloid media.
National Enquirer. Touchdown and the 2-point conversion.
You walk into the grocery store, what happens, right? What happens when you walk into Tiger was on every magazine, on all the shows. It was everyone led with Tiger. And I mean, everything from, you know, what happened that night to the, do you remember that animation they did?
Taiwanese. Taiwanese animators. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Taiwanese company did the animation of what happened that night. That unbelievable animation to, you know, getting information that Tiger crept out of the house in a box and they put him in the back of a, you know, in the back of a moving truck. It was a bonanza for the tabloid media, and especially in a stretch where Hollywood shuts down and everything's mellow, and that Tiger story had legs all the way through to the Masters for tabloid, non-sports people. It had legs all the way through to that, and so that was one of the biggest winners. And if you don't know what it's like to be in the center of a shitstorm, then you don't ever want to be there, because it is the worst feeling when you know everyone in the world is talking about you. And every time you turn on the television, you're going to see your face, and it ain't for a good reason.
Yeah, well, it's like the same reason. I think another big winner is late night comedians. I mean, my God, he gave them so much fodder. Honestly, it really, if you think about it, is really amazing the recovery that Tiger has been able to make because
it's incredible.
It just shows a couple of things. I think if you're great at what you do and hang around long enough, the tide will always turn, right?
Yep.
Because for a while he couldn't have been more toxic, and now he's sort of this,
the most hated man in America.
Yeah, and now he's sort of this, I don't want to say grandfather because he's only in his 40s, but he's sort of this the fun uncle now that everyone looks up to. Like, he was just announced on the new advisory board for the PGA Tour. He has made it through the shitstorm and has come out on the other side like he just came out of the shower. But it was there perpetually for him. Shout out to all the people that had to work on a holiday on the Thanksgiving weekend of 2009. Their dedication to their craft was rewarded by one of the biggest stories of 20 years.
And Tiger, if you remember, was holed up in the house for a couple of days before anybody knew anything, and then finally snuck out. But things started to leak out a little bit. But it was insane. It was really insane. You got another winner for me, Trey?
Maybe Live Golf. I mean, you know, the Saudis have money and they're willing to spend it. And if Tiger had just never gone through the dip, you know, the golf and the PGA Tour might have just continued that stranglehold. Now, I'm sure that the public investment fund, the PIF, which has billions and billions of dollars in it, would have made a dent. But I think the foundation of the tour would have been a lot stronger had we not had the hiatus, basically, of a couple of years. And it allowed things to creep in, and it allowed other things to develop. And now LIV is, you know, it's a real thing. You got John Rahm over there. You got Brooks Koepka over there. You got Bryson DeChambeau. You got really, really good players over there. Yeah. You can't look at the PGA Tour right now and say, hey, we're going up against the best every week. We're going up against the best. That's not the case. So you have a really legitimate competition. And I think if Tiger had just continued to have that dominant force, the LIV appeal might not have been nearly as strong.
Trey, that makes you also wonder then, would the Saudis start looking at professional sports teams in other realms like NFL and NBA? Because you look at the Premier League in England right now, and the Saudis have made a huge dent. And that's where you got these crazy escalating salaries. And now you have them with folks going over to Saudi Arabia to play and getting paid insane money. I mean,
like Ronaldo.
Insane money.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo and Benzema and all these guys are going over there and they're playing, and it's wild. All right. Yeah. My other winner is the Pine Grove Sex Addiction Clinic in Mississippi. These guys are out there and they're getting these pictures. And then after they get their pictures, their bosses call all the shows and all the papers and everything. And they say, hey, we got 3 pictures of Tiger inside the walls at the Pine Grove Sex Addiction Clinic in Mississippi. Yeah. Now let's bid on them. And people bid on them and they make money. Those pictures were worth so much money. Those first pictures of him walking around there, it was nuts. Yeah. It is nuts. And so they really benefited, because I couldn't tell you the last time the paparazzi were in Mississippi for something. But boy, the hotels made money. Pine Grove got on the map. Yeah. And those pictures were all around the world.
And by the way, let's be clear. Shout out to the people at Pine Grove that do great work for a thing. And we no disrespect. We hope people continue to go there and get treated if this is their affliction. So we just wanted to put that out there. All right. So, Kevin, by nature, this is a competition, sports. If there are winners, there are losers. Who are the biggest losers in your mind in this one?
The first one is me. And let me tell you why, Trey. I have had the pleasure to cover Tiger Woods a lot. And in the realm of, I'm coming from an entertainment show. So I've gotten to play a couple of holes with him where he kneeled down on his knees and he played me from his knees. By the way, I beat him on a par 3 when he kneeled down. There but I go. Mean, it's pretty crazy when a dude on a par 4 outdrives you from his knees.
That's a
but
problem.
It's been fun to hang out with Tiger. And I would say my crowning achievement in golf is, I want to show you this right here.
Oh, here you go. Here's the flex.
The Pro-Am from the 2006 Buick Invitational at Torrey Pines. See that right over there? It's Kevin Frazier and Tiger Woods.
Nicely
we won
done.
The Pro-Am. Well, I mean, he won the Pro-Am. We sprayed the ball all over the place. But this should be...
Team game, Kevin.
This should be on my door when you walk in the house.
Yeah.
And if that night doesn't happen, this is sitting in my living room above the TV. This is one of those moments where people walk in your house and they're like, oh my God, that's you and Tiger. I was like, oh no, we won the AT&T. And by the way, funny story about that is that I'm about to putt. It's me, Tiger Woods, Kevin James, and these two other poor guys who joined the group who all had paid a bunch of money to play. You're never prepared, Trey, to play in front of the kind of people that are following Tiger Woods at the height of Tiger mania.
Yeah.
And you, as a regular golfer, it's the most terrifying thing. And at one point, Stevie Williams, his old caddy, looks at me as I'm getting ready to putt, and he says, pick that fucking ball up. Don't you embarrass the world's greatest golfer by putting that ball and missing it. Stevie and Tiger talked so much junk to us that day, and it was incredible. And it was a great day, and it was a great moment walking down the fairway with him, but also seeing how he was testing drivers that day for the tournament and different angles on the driver. He was also testing the fit of his clothes and everything. It was a great kind of moment and insight into the machine that is Tiger Woods. I was brutal that day. I sprayed the ball all over the place, but damn it, this is in my house because of Tiger Woods. So thank you, Tiger.
All right. I'm going to go with two obvious ones. I mean, Nike. I mean, you know, they're still in the golf business if this doesn't happen, and they're churning out money hand over fist. Not like they aren't anyway. We're talking about a major hit. I mean, you know, Tiger kept them relevant. I mean, there's a reason guys like Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy and all those guys became Nike guys, because Tiger was the one that was leading the way, you know? So obviously the Nike influence, or the Nike ability to influence the game of golf, is a big loser. And I'll just say golf in general. You know, when this all went down, there was about a 20% drop from 2009 to 2012 in the golf industry, just in participation, you know?
Yeah.
Because like we said, he made it cool, man. He made it cool. He made it fun to be out there. He was different. He was ballsy. He was pointing the finger in the, you know, in the hole. Remember, he had that great interview with Curtis Strange. Second sucks and third is worse, you know. And Curtis is like, "You'll learn." No, we all learned, actually.
No, we learned.
He didn't learn. Yeah, we learned.
And we watched golf on Sunday. Like, it was like football. It was religion. Yeah. You'd be like, "Is Tiger playing today? Oh gosh, I can't miss that." And that is where you're right. Golf really lost. And you know what else? The other loser was, like you said, the TV contracts that golf could have gotten if Tiger had stuck around. And I think that golf owes a collective kind of like tip of the hat to Tiger for what he did. The golfers out there today, they owe him a tip of a hat for those purses and the TV channels that all came about. I mean, the Golf Channel that came about, they all owe a tip of the hat to Tiger Woods. And I think it's important that we never forget what he means to the game. And as he comes back around this second time, we say, bravo, Tiger. I mean, you created something that was so otherworldly and incredible that we still can't believe it today.
Every other PGA Tour player knows they make money because Tiger Woods showed up.
Yeah.
They know that. They know that. Speaking of that, okay, what would we have missed if Tiger had remained king of the PGA? What do you think we would have missed?
Something that we would have missed would have been Billy Payne, the Augusta National chairperson, scolding Tiger on television about his behavior. And of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen, Augusta National is well known for its racist past, and they didn't have a black member until 1990. It took hell and high water to get black people on that course for a long time. And for them to talk about Tiger's behavior and the other things that have gone on in golf was ludicrous. But for them to do it on national television really just sucked. It sucked like you were scolding a child. The man who helped make your tournament relevant again. You know, he helped make golf relevant again. And you hugged him. And even when you served that damn fried chicken at the winner's dinner, which was another bad moment, Augusta, just have to say that it was ridiculous that he scolded Tiger.
Especially when they had no problems with Arnold Palmer over the years.
None.
Just going to throw that one out there. Mine, what we would have missed, one of the most awkward, misfired advertisements and message I've ever seen. When he was making his return to the tour, there was this great ad that Nike thought they had promoted, and it was in black and white, and it was just sort of this wistful music playing in the background. It was just a close-up of Tiger's face, and Tiger's just staring into the camera, and then you hear his father's voice saying,
"Tiger, did you learn anything?"
That was Earl's thing that he did whenever he was on the course with Tiger when he was a kid. You know, he would try and throw off his game by rattling quarters in his pocket or saying something or, you know, or coughing, whatever. He wanted Tiger to be mentally tough, right? So his thing, what did you learn from this, Tiger? What did you learn from this? What they didn't factor in is Earl's behavior, which was exceedingly worse than Tiger's behavior. So when I heard that spot, and it's Tiger looking remorseful and wistfully into the camera, and the voice of Earl Woods floats in and says, "Tiger, what did you learn?" I wanted him to say, "I learned it from you, Dad. That's what I learned." And it was just the most awkward commercial messaging I have ever seen in my life.
And let me say this, Trey. I think that, you know, Tiger, because he had that bond with his father and revered him, that it was a moment where he wanted to reflect on the man who had helped him grow and turn into the man he became as a golfer. Yeah. And it missed the mark. It didn't quite hit. And I understand he wanted to honor his father in that way. He wanted to go back to the beginning. He wanted to go back to the center. He wanted to center himself. Yeah. But that one missed the mark. But I get what he was doing. I get where he was going.
I understand what they were trying to do, but they saw it from this perspective, and everyone else was looking at it from this perspective. All right, speaking of looking at things from this perspective, we can clearly see down the fairway now, but there's still some lingering questions around that dogleg of Tiger's career that we can't answer. Kevin, what's the one thing that's gotten you stumped in all of this?
Everyone talks about the injuries and that Tiger would have gotten the injuries because, like, he hurt his knee in SEAL training and other things. But the thing that has me stumped is, even with those injuries, Tiger could have limped around and won tournaments. He was that dominant. And more importantly, he was that confident. So the one thing that has me stumped was that there was this public outcry like he was the worst man in America. And I'm like, damn it. Have you seen who we voted in for president? I mean, come on, guys. Let's think this through. Tiger wasn't the worst man in America. So it has me stumped at our level of vitriol for this guy when he got busted. It's really between he and Elon. That's who it was between. And the sponsors dropped him and everything. But it's like, y'all, did we really hate him that much that, you know, when he returned to the Masters, he had to get that speech that people were giving him shit as he walked around the course? He's a golfer, guys. That's what he does. He's a golfer.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And mine is sort of along those lines. I'm not sure his body would have betrayed him anyway. You know, after his father died, he went into this really deep, deep tunnel of trying to do all the things, because you know his dad served in Vietnam. That's why he's named Tiger, after one of his dad's best friends in Vietnam. Yeah. A guy that he fought with. So I think after his father died, and he won his first major at Hoylake. It was the first one after Earl died, and there was this huge hug with him and Stevie on the 18th, and that was the most emotional I've ever seen out of Tiger. It's like, no. I'm not sure injuries would have derailed him anyway, because like you said, he was running the SEAL team training. He ran 14 miles with a rebuilt knee in army boots, and he came back into the house and told him, hey, I beat my best time, which is great. But dude, your knee's hanging on by a thread anyway. Why are you running 14 miles in army boots? So for me, I can't say with any certainty, even if Thanksgiving 2009 didn't happen, if Tiger Woods' body wouldn't have betrayed him in the first place because of the things he was subjecting it to in an attempt to reconnect with his father, who he had that incredible bond with, by doing all these things that were so outside the norm. And they've been greatly documented in the HBO two-part series on Tiger. They did a great job of sort of going through all this stuff. And so for me, even if it hadn't gone down the way it did on Thanksgiving Day in 2009, I'm not sure Tiger still might have had the massive physical issues he's been dealing with even before the car crash in 2021.
But Trey, I will say this. No one could gut it up like Tiger could. Oh my God. No one could take a gut check moment and just be like, I can barely... I mean, how many times did we see him swing and then like grab the club to hold him up like it was a cane?
In 2008, he won the U.S. Open in 91 holes, by the way, because that's when it used to be an 18-hole playoff, but they had to go to a 19th hole because they were still tied after 18, with a broken bone in his leg and a torn ACL. A torn ACL and a broken bone in his leg. Dude walked 91 holes on that shit and beat Rocco Mediate for the last of his three U.S. Open championships. So no one sucked it up better than Tiger Woods.
Like Tiger. And it has been said, and it has been said by many golfers, if Tiger would have taken a cart, if he would have figured out an exemption to get a cart or something, that he could have played longer. That walking all those miles on those jacked up knees and that bad back also hurt him. But that's who Tiger was. He wasn't going to show you anything. He wasn't going to give you an inch. Because that's what champions do.
Yeah, John Daly has said that. He said his swing is still as good as it's ever been. He just can't manage the walk anymore. And that's what's so amazing. A couple of years ago when we went back to Augusta after the... I mean, he made the cut. And for those that don't know, Augusta is one of the hilliest courses you'll ever see. It doesn't look that way on television. But outside of, walking the Kapalua course here, the Plantation course, it's the hilliest walk they have on tour. For him to make the cut a couple of years ago when he went back after the 2021 crash, absolutely remarkable. Anyway... So that's basically the whole thing in a nutshell. We're off to the 19th hole because that's where I really do my best work. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, let us know what we've missed. We want to hear from you. I'm Wingos on X. He is at Kevin Frazier.
And send us all the biggest, wildest, most agonizing sports what-if questions that you'd like us to cover on the show, and we'll throw them in the Alternate Routes machine for a future episode.
And that's the point where I say we'll see you down the road on Alternate Routes. That's the butterfly effect. I gotta make it happen. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, wouldas, never see the action. Just keep it real. That's a butterfly effect for real.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to every episode of Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.